listening to Not So Live from Astro G, forced due to poverty to go on a reality TV show. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, now instead of falling on it, pulling the pin on the grenade of nostalgia, because fuck you, this movie sucked. Seriously, Jesus, it wasn't even a remake, man. It was just bad.
We're discussing The Running Man, but we're going to actually look at it from the perspective of this movie versus the previous version from the 1980s with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because if you're a Stephen King fan, you know that Stephen King wrote a series of novellas under the name Richard Bachman. And one of these...
I thought you spelled cocaine wrong, but continue.
Under the name of cocaine, not... He's admitted as much. He's like, the second I stopped doing cocaine, writing became a lot harder.
Anyway, that was my joke.
It was good. You were correct. Anyway, but yeah, he wrote a series of novellas under the name of Richard Bachman, one of which was The Running Man. And honestly, he had a long series of these that were basically very bleak dystopian novellas, like Running Man and The Long Walk, and even to a certain extent the one about the school shooter that no one talks about anymore because he's asked for that published story not to be published ever again. Like, they all had this very dark dystopian bleak sense, which didn't match the horror boat novels he was writing at the time, so I can see why the publishing house didn't want to publish them, but he still had them published. And The Running Man became a movie that in no way, shape, or form resembled the book whatsoever.
Nope.
It's fun in its own right, but it has much more to do with American Gladiators, which wasn't even out then at the time, than it did the actual novel. Like, it presaged American Gladiators, which is kind of funny when you watch it. But anyone who is a fan...
That's a really good point. It is, like, literally what American Gladiators is like... Mm-hmm. came into. But anyway, please continue.
Someone saw that movie and said, hey, I could make this into a show where people don't die, but it would still be popular. And I mean, fuck, they were right. That went for 7 years. So anyone who's a fan of the novel was hoping at some point that they would do a much more true to the story adaptation with a guy,
authentic, if you will.
A guy who's in a reality show, but he basically has to run around the country avoiding a paramilitary group trying to hunt him, and how everyone else is going to be paid if they help get him caught and so forth, which kind of makes it into this new one done by Edgar Wright. But still, at the same time, it feels like the soul and substance of the book is missing from this, along with the fact that it barely feels like an Edgar Wright movie to begin with.
Like, I had to, like, really do a double take when I was like, I know the name Edgar, like, I'm just bad with director names, like, but I know that, like, I know the name, and you mentioned it, and, like, I heard it referenced, I'm like, and I saw his name, I gotta go back and see, he did movies that were, like, good.
Like,
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
Like, say what you will about Tintin, like, whatever, but, like, At World's End, he did Ant-Man, for God's sakes, like, he's got some good shit out there. This, I can't believe it was the same guy.
Yeah.
Almost. It just felt weird.
I'm not a huge fan of Last Night in Soho, his horror movie, but even that had more style to it than this movie did. This one felt like a watered down corporate sci-fi dystopia that barely has anything to say.
Yeah, there was too much flash in this movie for how, like, you know, shitty it was supposed to make you feel. Like, say what you want about the first one with Arnold, but, like, that got gritty and shitty feel, like, right. Like, that felt like a dystopian kind of thing. This just seems like you're in a city that where, like, the rich have the rich and all the... It felt like an upgraded New York or something. The city didn't have any personality to me either.
Yeah.
Before we continue in this spirited debate of, you know, nostalgia versus new flash that sucks, we do want to give a shout out to our sponsor this week of some great technological prowess and leadership. Technology moves faster than any human. Keeping up just isn't enough. To succeed, you have to be at the forefront. You have to be ahead of everyone else. You have to have the advantage no one else can match. You have to have the future in your hands. Cyberdyne Systems is that future. With our proprietary tech backing, our one-of-a-kind Skynet infrastructure, we're decades ahead of the competition. We can see the future of tech when it comes to industrial, commercial, and military applications. We're there before anyone else even knows what's next, and we always will be. Cyberdyne Systems, the future is bright. Thank you this week to our sponsor.
So when looking at the two movies, we have Glenn Powell in the new one and Arnold Schwarzenegger in the old one, both of which are telling functionally the same story. A guy gets framed or pushed into a situation where he basically has to be on a reality TV show. And the reality TV show more or less lies about his situation, making him seem like a much worse person than he actually is. So that the home audience starts to root against him and so forth. And so he gets launched through a tube and out into the world, he and two others. And he basically has to survive while a whole army of bad guys comes after him. And as he survives, the home audience that is supposed to be against him starts to root for him. To the point that the network starts to freak out and they start trying to cheat as hard as they can to make him lose. And somehow, in the end, he comes out on top. That's the general bit gist of it. Each movie handles it very differently. The Running Man from the 1980s is weirdly slick and dystopian, but it actually kind of has a commentary about commercialism and also about the stupidity of action movies at that time period. It actually, despite being a very dumb movie, is kind of smart about the subtle messages it's trying to say. It's almost like smart in the same way Predator is smart, you know?
Yes, very much so. And like, it's basically like, you know, guy in situation, thing turn against guy, blah, 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 blah. The new one, like, they tried to make it even just a little bit more, like, with the whole, like, you know, family aspect, giving him a reason to fight. And I wanted to root for Glenn Powell. I did, but, like, he felt like he didn't know what he just felt like he wasn't directed correctly, or I don't know if they just didn't mesh or whatever. It was his tone to me was confusing throughout the whole movie, to be honest. Well, and what Arnold brought, he's Arnold. Arnold is Arnold. You're going to get it even then. I don't blame Glenn Powell for this, and I really don't want to blame Edgar Wright for it either, but like, it just didn't work. But like, I had high hopes when we were going to be reviewing this when I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. And I was just bored.
Yeah. Well, and that's because when you go back to the original movie, the 1980s movie, that is very definitely a commentary not only on action, but on the Reagan era, consumerism. Mm. It has a lot that it's commenting on. The fact that it then led to a show that almost completely stole everything from it and did it with a straight face that kids like me, being stupid, loved back in the day, American Gladiators. Like, that's kind of funny that the crass commercialism could lead to actual crass commercialism that it was trying to comment on. That's a different commentary on the Reagan era altogether anyway. But this movie has no message. It's like, oh, poverty is bad. Okay, what's leading to the poverty? What's causing this? What is the governmental situation that's put you into this position? There's so much that the first movie managed to establish with just a few key moments and key scenes that this one never does. And you're in an era, like, we could argue that we're in a second gilded age right now. Trump economics and everything being what is, I don't think we can get away from discussing politics with this fucking movie. But this movie doesn't comment on any of it.
No, like, if for everything that the movie from the 80s gave you, this gives you absolutely fucking none of that. Like,
nothing.
Like, I was so disappointed with the constant, like, just the people. You couldn't even get attached to the people in this movie. At least, like, for as goofy as the gladiators, we'll just call them, from the first movie, where, you know, the hunters, as goofy, you know, the like, whatever you want to call them. Like, at least, like, you kind of, like, got with their big hulking guys, you know, each one of them had a weapon that was kind of interesting and all that, and, like, whatever. This was just, like, everybody's after the guy, and, like, it felt like, let's throw 100 different ideas at this guy and shotgun it at the wall and just see what sticks. And you had basically a good source material to go off of from the first movie, if that's what you were trying to remake, and you shit splattered things everywhere that made no sense to me.
Yeah, and it's really weird what they did. I think I agree with you. It's not the fault of Glenn Powell. Not that I think Glenn Powell is fantastic in this movie. He's not the same kind of actor as Arnold, and that's not a good or a bad thing. It's just that he's charismatic, but he's charismatic in a way that needs a story. I really liked him in Hitman, which was on Netflix a while ago. I thought that was great. He's got a big smile, and he sells his character in Twister, even though that character is underwritten. I don't think Ben Richards is a character that really suits his charismatic acting style. But that's not to say he couldn't have range and he couldn't fit the role. But this is the kind of role where you need a director that can actually direct you to do it. And for some reason, Edgar Wright doesn't feel like he's invested in this movie at all. I don't know if this is like an Ant-Man situation where he was supposed to make that movie and then the studio took it from him and gave it to someone else and his ideas lingered a little but not really, or if he was here and the studio was like, we're going to keep you, but you don't really get to do anything here. I don't know what happened with this movie.
Yeah, like, it looked like it had such potential and it looked like it was going to be fun, and for being 30 minutes or so longer than the first movie, it felt like 4 hours longer. It just wasn't interesting. Like, yeah, with Ben Richards, like there were points in that, like I couldn't tell if like this was a guy that was down on his luck and just like trying to do what he could for his family, or he didn't give a shit about, you know, burning society to the fucking ground. Like his tone was just too confusing for me. And that's again not the fault of Glenn Powell. Like he does do some good stuff, and he I'm not saying he's typecast as like a guy, but he plays this charismatic guy very well in a lot of the roles that he does, to your point. And you can only do so much charisma when it's a fucking action movie on the run. Like I didn't feel there were parts of the movie where I was like, do I feel happy, confused, sad? Like I don't get it. Like it just didn't
You don't
make sense
invest.
to me.
You don't invest. Well, it's because what we know of him is that, yes, he cares about his family, even though they're barely a factor in most of the story. But he's also a very angry man. And there's not enough development of this beyond he's angry for his family. Like, I need more. I need more to him than this. But then I need more to the whole world. Like, we see a couple slums, but we also see, like, a lot of just normal-looking city. And we don't get a sense of how bad or good the world is, so that we know someone who's on the Running Man really is desperate to be there, or if there were other avenues they could have followed. Ben Richards is angry, so he doesn't get to have any other chance, but why?
I don't know. And the fact they took the story and extended it to like 30 days on the run, like you got to check in,
That's from the
you
book.
know, like I like that, but like why do that? Because the movie doesn't even
Use
take
it well.
advantage of
No, it doesn't. That and that's
that.
right. That it's part of the book, so that's you can see why it's in there, but it's not like it adds anything to it. Like, we discussed The Long Walk last season, and that one streamlined a lot of it because it didn't need all of that flab in there. This one feels flabby by trying to be just like the book. Yeah. So, now I And then the whole ending just irritated the crap out of me too. Spoiler for the novel. And honestly, spoiler for a movie you guys probably weren't going to watch anyway. But in the novel, at the end, he does get that like airplane like they get in the movie, and he flies it into the studio to kill everyone in the studio, wipe out Dan Killian and the whole group and everything there, and like take out the studio altogether as a sort of a blow against the corporate fat cats. And the movie here doesn't even have the ability to do that. It like nods towards it and then fakes out and does something else, and it just undercuts everything. Even when it tries to have a message, it fails.
Yeah, good point. It was a movie that wanted you to be invested into a more of a story that it never gave to you. It just didn't. I didn't feel connected to anything. I didn't give a shit, you know? And
No.
you can't take a movie, I don't know, you just can't take a movie like this and have it be good. I mean, look at the numbers. This movie fucking bombed, dude. And
Oh,
it
it
was
did. It did.
like this isn't even like a guilty pleasure movie. Like this movie was just dog shit.
Well, and how do you make a movie like this where you basically just have a guy run around a city for, like, I don't know, 2 hours? It doesn't even have complex sets. It barely has any pyrotechnics, has no CGI for the most part. How do you take that and spend 110 million on it? This should have been a 30 mil movie.
But that's just the price of inflation, the price of Hollywood, right? Like we've talked about that. Like Hollywood needs to get away from throwing $100 million at a movie and just see, like you're gonna get pistol whipped half the time if you're not careful, because like you don't need to do that. This movie, like you said, 30, 40, 50 million, you could have made it pretty sweet, throw in some practical effects and tune down this and that, and it could be like okay. But you took a movie and you went over the top and it was still dog shit.
Yeah, if you spent 30 or 40 million, the 69.5 million you made on it might still qualify it quite technically as a Hollywood flop because of Hollywood math. But it's not like a huge loser. But at 110 million, it couldn't even make 70 at the box office, and it's an absolute bomb. Like, and you're sitting there going, but you had Arnold's Running Man right here. You could do that, or you could actually do the novel and comment on politics, and you chose the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, you chose like neither of either one. You're trying to like thread this needle, like
Yeah.
this line down the middle that made no sense to either story. And I mean, to look at the one from the 27 million to make that movie, which, you know, inflation, say what you want about that, but that at least made 38 million.
Yeah.
Made a little bit of money, I guess.
Well, that raised what back in the 80s when they had home video rentals and everything else, that 10 million on top was a cherry for what they were going to do in residuals afterwards. I'm sure that made money, not a ton, but it made it. But it had a cult following that built afterwards. You're sitting there going, did this movie need to be remade? And if it did it need to be remade with Glenn Powell?
I mean, I want to think that like he, you know, was just trying to like do other things and maybe wanted to work together with Edgar Wright. Like, I don't know, but like I could have seen anybody else in this role, and they would have been, you know, probably just as forgettable. But like, I don't know why you particularly picked the guy that, you know, for his acting style and what he's, you know, say what you want about him being good at. Like, you got none of that in this, and I'm not faulting him for that, but it was a choice, and it was just a poor one.
And it's like, honestly, that as we're discussing this, who should they have put in charge or in the lead role instead? They had someone on the cast right there that I think actually could have done a better job with this. Michael Cera was sitting right there. Like he, if
He was.
you want to cast someone against type and you want to have someone that can like maybe play the rage and everything, Michael Cera actually sells the scenes he's in as a weird conspiracy nut. I liked him in this movie. I think he should have been the lead.
He was the one like fun character to me.
Right?
You know, like he was like, I saw someone say that, like, you know, this is what Kevin McAllister grew up to be. I was like, yeah, with the
Yes.
house full of death. Like, yeah, this is exactly who Kevin, this is who he was if he didn't turn out to be Jigsaw.
Yeah, he's a conspiracy nut who built an entire fun house of traps to catch the government in. And yeah, if he's not Jigsaw, he's Kevin McAllister. I agree with that's very apt. I like that. So, no, I can see why this movie bombed because it was overpriced and just didn't know what the hell it was doing. I really think the studio, after getting the initial script, was like, you need to dumb down the politics here because we're in the Trump era and we can't comment on that.
It felt like, you know, a movie made off of fear.
Yeah.
It was afraid of itself, and it never
Yeah.
got out of its own way. And like, if you're gonna do that, at least snack off like, you know, 40 minutes of this fucking crap that you made me watch.
These would have
Like,
been
why give
tighter.
me a
Yeah.
hundred, yeah, 133 minutes of nothing? Like, that's basically what this is.
Yeah. If it had been an hour 20 movie, at least it would have been fast. But yeah, it drags.
Yeah, it's 20, 30 minutes longer than the one from the 80s, and it's somehow, you know,
Says less.
feels even longer than that
Yeah.
and says less. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No. So. Yeah, if you're a fan of The Running Man, just stick with the original, because I don't think there's any point in watching this remake.
It just wasn't good. Like, you know, like for the cult following, to your point that you said about the first one, like that, this is a movie that will not have that 30, 40 years from now.
No.
Like, this is going to be just as easily forgotten. People will be watching The Running Man from the 80s 50 years from now before they'll watch this crap.
I watched it a
So save
couple years
yourself the
ago. It
trouble.
was still fun. I'll go and watch it
It
again
was
in 4 or 5 years. Yeah, it's fun.
fun.
It's
I
dumb,
watched it,
but fun.
you know, 6 months ago or whatever, when we were talking about, you know, doing these, and like I remember, I was like, "Damn, I enjoyed that. Is it still just as good? Is it just as good? No, because I'm 44, but is it still just as fun? Yeah, it
Yeah.
really is.
It wasn't good to begin with. It doesn't have to be. It's
It doesn't
just
have to be.
stupid fun.
It knows what it is. It stays in its lane. This movie didn't know what it wanted to be and never found its soul.
No.
So whatever."
So, yeah. Oh, well. Maybe next time they adapt Stephen King, they'll do a better job. I mean, we had The Long Walk, which was depressing but good, and this one was just depressingly bad.
Well said. I mean,
Thank
we
you.
did get the a Deary Maine reference in this too for all your Stephen King fans out there. So, I mean, at least there was some reference to Pennywise. You could tie back into this at some point, maybe. I don't know. Everything connects in his universe.
Yeah, well. I don't need this one connecting ever again.
Yeah, no, this can go away and just never come back.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, easily getting hunted down on the very first day. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna go put his head in a bear trap because it's more fun than watching this crap. Don't bother.
Oh, wow! We will see you all next time.